Well, hello, hello, guys. You are listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And this is my amazing podcast all about the science of healthy, sexy, vibrant skin at every age. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm a facial plastic surgeon. I'm located in Pasadena, California. I run an amazing Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And you can find me on my website with the same name, www.beautybydrk.com.
I'm so excited today on the podcast to have Tanya Zuckerbrot all the way from New York City.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tanya. So welcome. And Tanya, for those of you who don't know, is fabulous. She's famous for her F-Factor diet, and she's going to tell us all about it. I know a lot of my clients are interested in beauty and health, and your approach to nutrition is just so amazing because it's nutritionally sound. As a doctor, I want someone who's putting out a diet that has facts and science, and I'm really impressed with yours. So could you tell us a little about the F Factor?
Yes. So thank you for those kind words. And coming from a doctor, nothing is more validating, because I take so much pride in the fact that F Factor is steeped in science. So when my peers in the medical community recognize that and validate it, it just gives me this platform where I can continue to educate people, and through education comes the empowerment. And at F Factor's core, you know, we are trying to get consumers to understand how their bodies work, so therefore they can be empowered to make decisions throughout the day that honor their intentions of looking and feeling their best. But for your listeners who are not familiar with F-Factor, I describe it as the most liberating and effective method for weight loss management and improved health. F-Factor is based on high fiber nutrition, and fiber allows you to eat carbs and feel full throughout the day and rely on your fat stores for fuel, and that's how the weight loss happens. And fiber has many health benefits as well, but its weight management properties are really, I think, what is disrupting the weight loss industry right now.
You're one of the few people that's managed to make fiber sexy.
Thank you. I've tried. It's been an uphill battle. But I think now that people are recognizing fiber's ability to produce weight loss without hunger and to improve health, it's becoming a lot more mainstream.
Yeah.
So it's less of a challenge than it was earlier in my career.
I first heard of you on the Skinny Confidential, actually. My friend Lauren, who I love, is so in love with your Gigi crackers that you recommend, and she follows all your principles of lots of fiber, lots of water, lots of fresh vegetables. So that's how I first heard of you. So
I love Lauren, and she's been a great friend ever since we met. She really, I think, has loved the benefits that she's received from changing her eating habits to incorporate more fiber into her diet. You know, but F Factor is more than just a high fiber diet. It is, of course, a combination of fiber and protein at every meal. We have a saying, fiber and protein at every meal makes losing weight no big deal. Those are the two nutrients that provide the most volume, the most nutrient density, but the lowest caloric density. So the protein is essential for maintaining muscle mass and building muscle. And for people who are active, that's essential. And the fiber is important for revving up metabolism and keeping people full throughout the day. So we aim to get those two nutrients at breakfast, lunch, snack, and dinner. But the beauty of F-Factor is that many of our principles feel counterintuitive to everything we've been encouraged to believe in the weight loss space that has actually failed us. You know, the advice that we've been given to cut out carbs, to forego, you know, cocktails, you know, to sit home and not dine out because, you know, restaurant food's too fattening. And then we've been encouraged to spend hours at the gym. Despite the fact that many of us have embraced many of those principles, as a nation, we are still fatter than ever.
Yeah.
So F-Factor delivers, I think, a message that feels really liberating, but it can't just be liberating to be disruptive, you know, just so it sounds disruptive. It has to be effective, and it is. So on F-Factor, what you'll find is clients or people who pick up the book can eat carbs from day one because they're focusing on high fiber carbs. And I'll speak in a few minutes how fiber works. They are absolutely dining out from day one. They are enjoying cocktails from day one. And we're teaching them how to work out more effectively. They're actually working out less, but they're getting better results. And when you hear that message that you can eat carbs, dine out, enjoy cocktails, and work out less and lose weight, you know, who wouldn't, you know, sort of at least be curious. And then when you actually follow the program, that's where you recognize that it is the most effective and liberating approach. Mm-hmm. Most women lose between 8 to 10 pounds in the first month, and men 10 to 15. Wow. And you're doing so without compromising your quality of life, because you're not foregoing your social life. You can still meet colleagues after work for cocktails. You don't have to forego traveling for business or pleasure. You know, you can go away with friends or family. You can enjoy the holidays, family gatherings. It's not punitive. And I feel like the space of weight loss for centuries has felt that way, that you're always giving up something. You know, people feel deprived. They feel denied. They feel hungry. And none of that's sustainable.
Do you feel like you're always having to take your Gigi crackers everywhere, or are you able to?
Well, you know, F-Factor is more than just a cracker diet. I think, you know, we definitely have put those crackers on the map. And it's simply because I was looking for a replacement for bread. But ultimately, you can get fiber in so many other foods, which is why I actually started the food line, because many clients were gluten-free. You know, they had celiac or they had gluten sensitivity. So F-Factor launched the F-Factor powders and the F-Factor bars so that people had other convenient forms of fiber when they needed something on the go. Yeah. So the bars have 20 grams of fiber, and the powders have 20 grams of fiber. They're all natural. They're non-GMO. They're soy-free. They're gluten-free. They're kosher. They're made in the USA. I mean, they're really just exceptional, exceptional quality ingredients. I could not be more proud of these. And it's giving people fiber in a really delicious, convenient form. But yes, you can eat the Gigi's as well. So it really is about finding fiber in foods that you like, including fruits and vegetables and whole grains, and pairing them with lean proteins. And that's where you get that fiber and protein at every meal.
So tell me, what are some of the good carbs that we should be eating?
Yeah, so good carbs are found in fruits, so raspberries, blueberries. All berries are really high in antioxidants. Kiwis are a good source of fiber. So are apples and pears. So you certainly get fiber from fruits. Vegetables are a great source of fiber. The cruciferous vegetables like cauliflower, broccoli, asparagus, artichokes. I mean, you know, cauliflower recipes are, you know, so popular right now. Everything from cauliflower fried rice to cauliflower pizza. So it's never been easier or more delicious to get fiber from your veggies. Of course, salads are a great source of fiber as well. And you can get fiber also in whole grains. So brown rice and whole wheat breads and legumes such as lentils or white beans. So there are so many nutritious and delicious sources of fiber, whether you're vegan or you eat animal, you know, products, or you're kosher. That's the beauty of F-Factor, is that no matter what, like, your sort of defined diet is based on either, like, religion or, you know, a more personal philosophy, or if you have any kind of sensitivities, we can tailor F-Factor to meet anyone's needs. It's based on the principles that if you eat fewer net carbs than your body relies on, your body will be forced to burn fat for fuel. And that's the science. You know, your body will not burn fat if you're providing it with a fuel source. So it's important for people to understand that carbs are not the enemy. And we were ushered into this carb-free decade of eating, and we were told to limit our carb intake in order to lose weight. The problem with that is, one, it's ineffective, and two, it's not sustainable. In fact, when you take a look at cultures who predominantly rely on carbs for most of their calories, for example, where you see in Asia they eat a lot of rice, or in Italy where they eat pasta every day, or in France where they eat baguettes or croissants, they don't have the instance of obesity that we do in this country, and yet we're sitting around blaming the carbs. Yeah. So, you know, I educate the clients to understand that carbs are not bad for you. They're just fuel. That's why athletes carbo load. The problem is, if you eat more carbs than you can store as glycogen, which is how you store carbs, that even the healthiest carbs like quinoa or cherries can still be converted into body fat. Mm-hmm. So that's the issue, is that carbs don't make you fat. Carbs eaten in excess of what you can store will be converted to fat. But F-Factor has figured out that formula. Yeah. I have looked anatomically at what someone's liver holds and someone's muscles hold. That's where you store your carbs. And by figuring out the storage capacity, it's like, think of your body as a car, and your tank, you know, your gas tank can only hold so much. By understanding what the average gas tank can hold, that's how I've defined how many carbs our clients should be eating. Okay. Now, if you are just going low carb, the problem is carbs are needed for fuel. You're going to feel weak, tired, shaking, cranky. you're not going to feel great. That's why low-carb diets are not sustainable, even if they're effective in the short run.
Yeah.
But if you're only doing something temporarily, it's illogical to think that the results are going to be permanent.
Yes. So is there a calorie requirement? So sometimes, I mean, I think people are used to thinking of calories. I know I am. I think, you know, I got to eat 1,000 to 1,500 calories a day or 1,200 if I want to lose weight. So is that a good way to quantify things?
So that's really a great question because most Americans are accustomed to calorie counting. And what I will say is that all diets have to create a caloric deficit for weight loss to occur. Whether it's F-Factor or Atkins or a juice cleanse, all of them are going to be low in calories.
Right.
So F-Factor is inherently low in calories, but my clients and F-Factor followers are not calorie counting. What they count are carbs and fiber because the formula represents in them a very detailed outline of parameters for breakfast, lunch, snack, and dinner. So our clients have a lot of guidance, including portion sizes. So if you follow the formula, I'm telling you there is a calorie cap. But unlike other low-calorie diets, two things are unique with F-Factor. Number one, most low-calorie diets leave you famished, right? It's low in calories, means you're not eating a lot of food. Fiber has zero calories. Therefore, fiber adds bulk to your meals. You're going to have double the portion sizes of someone else eating the exact same amount of calories because fiber has no calories, but it's going to provide you a lot of volume. And that's really important to satiety. Satiety is how satisfied you are. I want my patients feeling full while they're losing weight. But something else that's extremely important about fiber. Fiber has a thermogenic effect. Fiber will rev up your metabolism. So what happens is when people follow low-calorie diets, and I'm sure you've seen this throughout your career, you know, maybe your patients have shared this with you anecdotally, when you go on a low-calorie diet, ultimately your metabolism slows down and you go in, and your body will go into self-preservation mode.
Yes.
Your body will slow down the metabolism to make the most of the few calories that it's being fed.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, by slowing down the metabolism, most clients will end up plateauing,
mm-hmm.
right? Or people who diet will plateau. And when they return to their normal eating habits, they actually gain a lot of weight very quickly.
Right.
On F-Factor, because we're creating a caloric deficit by introducing fiber into the diet, fiber has a thermogenic effect. Your body tries to expend calories trying to break the fiber down, but it can't. And therefore, even though our clients are on a low-calorie diet, the fiber is actually revving up their metabolism during the weight loss process. How do I know this? Because I measure their metabolism on day one, and I measure it every single week that they come in. And therefore, I am able to see if there's any metabolic changes. I'm able to show the clients that as they're losing weight, we are honoring their metabolism so they can lose weight without plateauing. And more importantly, once they get to their goal weight, if we have honored their metabolism, they can actually keep the weight off. And that is what is so absolutely unique about F-Factor, that we are the only diet out there creating the caloric deficit through fiber.
How do you measure their metabolism? Is that with the, you know?
With the InBody machine, yes.
Yeah, okay, awesome. And then another quick question that I get a lot of from patients is when you're eating fiber or grains, how do you avoid feeling bloating?
Yeah. So I would say, I mean, it's a common concern because many people sort of jump on the fiber bandwagon and they go from like zero to hero overnight and they have no fiber in their diet and all of a sudden they're trying to ingest 40 grams. So you do want to ingest fiber slowly, meaning that you want to maybe start off with 10 grams, 20 grams, 30 grams. Now, the reason that we actually have that bloating and distension is not because we're not intended to eat fiber, it's that we're just not used to it. There's a tribe in Africa that eats anywhere from 100 to 150 grams of fiber per day. It's the Hunza tribe. And they actually have much healthier guts than we do. We can talk about fiber as a prebiotic. And, you know, we speak to that when we talk about some of the health benefits of fiber. But the point is the human body can easily ingest and probably digest 100 to 150 grams of fiber per day. So F-Factor recommends 40. The issue is most Americans get between 11 and 15 grams of fiber. We're in a fiber deficit. And that's why when we introduce the fiber, our bodies are like, whoa, what is this? I don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
But if you introduce it slowly, you will find that you can easily tolerate the 40 grams of fiber. And why do we recommend 40 grams? Well, one, as I said, if it has to do with weight management, fiber has some very unique properties. One, it has that thermogenic effect. Eating fiber during weight loss will actually rev up your metabolism, allowing you to lose weight steadily without plateauing and allow you to keep the weight off in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, fiber swells in your stomach when you ingest it and combine it with fluids. So when fiber swells, it stretches out your stomach. And when your stomach stretches out, it sends a satiety hormone, cholecystokinin. That hormone goes to your brain and tells your brain, I'm full. Mm-hmm. So our clients are feeling extremely full on very few calories. Their brain thinks that they're feeling full on thousands of calories. So our clients are losing weight without the typical feelings of hunger associated with low-calorie diet. And last but not least, fiber acts like a sponge in your body. And fiber can absorb things. It can absorb toxins, estrogen, cholesterol. But fiber can also absorb fat and calories and the other foods you're combining it with. So for example, if you had 100 calories of cheese that you were eat on its own, that 100 calories would enter into your bloodstream and land on your hips and your thighs. On the other hand, if you took that cheese and you put it on a high-fiber cracker, the fiber would absorb some of the fat and calories in that cheese, and maybe 20 calories of fat would be wound up in the fiber. Since fiber is indigestible, you evacuate it, and those extra 20 calories end up in the toilet bowl, so only 80 calories enter into your bloodstream. In fact, a published journal study found that when women doubled their fiber intake from 12 to 24 grams of fiber per day, they naturally lowered their caloric absorption by 90 calories per day. Mm-hmm. And you may say, well, 90 calories, that doesn't seem like a lot. But if you were to repeat that every day for a year, that's 10 pounds of weight loss.
Dang.
Now, what's so amazing about this is that most diets create a caloric deficit through omission, by cutting out carbs, cutting out sugar, cutting out meat, cutting out something. F factor creates a caloric deficit through addition. By adding more fiber into their diets, these women were naturally absorbing less calories.
Right.
That's what's so amazing, is that you get to eat more, absorb less. And then, of course, I'd be remiss not to just quickly mention the health benefits. Fiber lowers cholesterol.
Yeah. Definitely.
Fiber helps to manage blood sugar levels, which helps to manage diabetes or reduce the risk factors for type 2 diabetes. Fiber binds with toxins that otherwise could stick to your colon, your rectum, and your anus. Therefore, it reduces the risk for colon cancer. Fiber also binds with estrogen. By pulling extra estrogen out of the body, this is what we call minimizing estrogen dominance,
mm-hmm.
which minimizes the risk for breast cancer. And considering that one out of every seven of your female listeners is at risk for breast cancer, adding fiber to their diets is one of the most simple, natural things they can do to reduce their risk. And last but not least, all the new research about fiber is all about the gut health. And we now know that the microflora in your gut can actually eat the fiber and break it down, and it creates a compound called butyrate, and butyrate minimizes cytokine productions. Cytokines are what are linked to inflammation. As you know and I know, inflammation in the body is linked to autoimmune responses and conditions such as alopecia and psoriasis, to gut issues such as Crohn's and colitis. And degenerative diseases such as MS and Parkinson's. So we want to minimize inflammation in the body, and eating more fiber does that as well.
That's so revolutionary. It's so basic and so
it's so basic
human evolution, and so logical and yet so revolutionary, that the way you've thought about it and really processed the info that other women can understand, it's amazing.
Well, thank you. It really means so much to me. And when you talk about the fact that If you just really look anatomically, you know, at our bodies and how we should be eating, and how, as Americans, because we've refined, you know, so many of our foods, that is really where we're seeing this correlation with the processed foods, people gaining weight, all the disease states, and why we rely on probiotics in this country. Because our guts, we have minimized the microflora populations in our guts. That was one thing in the New York Times piece that was looking at that Hansa tribe that I said was eating 100 to 150 grams of fiber. What they found so fascinating was, yes, they were all thin.
Yeah.
They had very little disease. But more so, when they measured the microflora, they had like an extra 1,000 strains in their gut.
Wow.
And they're just so much healthier. So the idea of eating more fiber is going to benefit us culturally, from a health perspective, and certainly from a weight management perspective. I think people are so sick and tired of having to lose weight by having to give up their favorite foods, not dine out. Everything, as I said, weight loss has felt so punitive.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like people felt burdened by it. That's why everyone always starts their diet on a Monday. It's like, okay, on Monday I'm going to begin. You don't want to ruin your weekend. our clients come here, they're actually so excited to get started eating the Yet Factor way because they know that they're going to change their life without compromising their lifestyle. They're not giving up traveling. They're not giving up dining out. They're not even giving up alcohol.
Yeah.
And they're not slaves to the gym. We really teach clients the role that exercise should play. And when you look at the United States, I joke that we've, and it's not a joke, it's a stat, that we have more gyms in this country than any nation in the world, and we have remained the fattest nation. Our reliance on exercise has not produced a thinner nation. And you see in Europe, they don't really, it's not a gym culture the way that it is here. And yet they're much thinner than we are. Now, I don't have an anti-exercise platform. I'm very pro-exercise. But exercise for every reason other than getting thin. It releases endorphins. It's good for bone density. You like to sweat. But I'm trying to educate people to recognize that it is much more effective to manage your weight through your intake than have to rely on your output.
I think nobody in America realizes that. Everyone thinks that you lose weight by going to the gym. And absolutely not. I think you're absolutely right. You lose weight by not putting calories in your mouth or putting in volumetric calories that expand your stomach.
Exactly right. Now, where the gym does play an important role is that we have to maintain our muscle mass. Beginning at age 30, women lose 0.5 pound of muscle per year, men lose 1 pound. Now, that's problematic because two reasons. Number one, muscle regulates metabolism. So if you are losing muscle, you're slowing down your metabolism. And if you are eating the same amount that you used to, all of a sudden you're gaining weight. That's part of it. The other part has to do with the fact that your muscles are where you store your carbs. It's part of your glycogen storage capacity. So remember I said your body's a car and you have a tank of gas.
Right.
Well, now picture beginning at age 30, your tank keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller, but you have not thoughtfully minimized your carb intake because why would you? You're eating the same amount that you always used to eat. But now it's done by 40 or 50, all these carbs are being converted into body fat. And this is the piece of the puzzle no one explained to the American population. The reason it's so important to maintain our muscle mass is so that we don't minimize our glycogen storage capacity. So this way, in your 40s and 50s, you can still accommodate the same amounts of carbs you're eating in your 30s without weight gain.
Right.
That's the science. And the more fiber in a carb, the fewer net carb. That's why eating high-fiber carbs is so important. Because if you have carbohydrates without fiber, all that carb will be broken down into sugar and stored as glycogen. So if we have white bread with 15 grams of carbs and no fiber, that the net is 15. Net carbs is simply subtracting carbohydrates, the fiber from the carb. If something has fiber, like wheat bread, you have 15 grams of carbs, 5 grams of fiber, the net is 10. I don't want my tank to overfill, so I want to eat foods with as much fiber as possible. Let me show you an example. When the fiber powder that I created, the protein powder, as you can see here, it's on the back, it's 23 grams of carb,
mm-hmm.
but it's 20 grams of fiber.
Wow.
The net is 3 grams.
Right. That's
so awesome. They're getting 20 grams of belly-filling, metabolizing-boosting fiber, but because it's so low in net carb, the body will be forced to burn fat for fuel.
Mm-hmm.
That's how fat burning occurs. You only burn fat for fuel in the absence of glucose.
That's true.
I always tell my clients, carbs are not bad for you. It's just fuel. That's why athletes carb load.
Yeah.
But if you're constantly fueling your body, even with healthy carbs like quinoa, avocado toast, fresh fruit, your body always has a fuel source and doesn't need to burn fat.
Question.
So there is a formula. I want to give you enough carb where you have energy so you can perform, you know, procedures, so you can deal with clients, so a stay-at-home mom has energy for her kids. Like, you need carbs for fuel. But if we don't have a carb deficit at some point in the day, the body will never have to rely on fat.
Mm-hmm.
You only rely on fat for fuel in the absence of glucose. But if I gave you no carbs, you would feel weak, tired, shaky, and cranky. And that's why, as I said, there's a formula. On F Factor, we have a free app for all your listeners. They can download it. The app keeps track of your carbs and your fiber. So you can see if you're in a fat-burning mode throughout the day.
That's awesome. So, because it is kind of hard to figure out when I'm at the cafeteria picking.
Yes, it's very hard.
Exactly how much fiber.
we've done the work for you with the F Factor app, and it's free. It's when everyone knows it's a free app.
So I have two questions for you. One is, what do you think of intermittent fasting? Because I know that's getting popular. And what do you think of ketogenic diets? I know that's like a whole hour in itself, but if you could just give us a little tips.
So I'll begin with the ketogenic diet because I think we're just coming off of understanding a little bit more about F Factor. A ketogenic diet is a low-carb diet, and so is F Factor. So if you're going to go low-carb, why would you remove fiber when fiber has no carb? So what happens on ketogenic, it's just really a glorified version of Atkins. You're going to ketosis, you're keeping your net carbs very low. The problem is it's not sustainable. Yeah. I don't want to go through life never having a bowl of pasta when I'm in Italy or a croissant when I'm in France.
Yeah.
I just believe that, as I said, it's a more modern version of Atkins without all of the health benefits and metabolizing boosting benefits of F-Factor. F-Factor, for all your listeners, is simply a ketogenic diet with fiber.
That's
so
awesome.
You're going to get the same results, but the fiber has no calories. It's going to double the volume of a keto diet. It's going to rev up your metabolism. On a ketogenic diet, your metabolism will slow down. You are not providing your diet the fiber that has that thermogenic effect. On a ketogenic diet, you may find that you're constipated. Fiber improves laxation. So most people on low-carb diets are often constipated.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Americans spent over $1 billion on laxatives and stool softeners because we are in a fiber deficit.
Mm-hmm.
By eating more fiber, you're going to get the probiotic benefits. You're going to get all the clinical benefits of lowering your cholesterol, your triglyceride levels, managing your sugars, reducing inflammation in the body. Fiber has no calories.
Yeah.
So whether it's the ketogenic diet or the paleo diet, if you really take a look at F-Factor, they're following very similar principles. They just fell short. They just stopped short of adding fiber into it. So if you are following keto or you're following paleo, add more fiber to it. We'll call that F-Factor now. You will see, you will get better results. You will feel more full throughout the day. You will actually increase your metabolism over time, which will allow you to keep any of the weight you've lost actually off because you have not slowed down your metabolism. And unlike keto, you're going to get numerous health benefits because that's what fiber does. Fiber is a sponge, and it will pull out the cholesterol and the toxins and the estrogen, reducing your risk factors for all these cancers and cardiovascular disease. It is so illogical to me to follow a ketogenic diet when you have F-Factor. F-Factor is keto approved.
Fasting. How about fasting? That's something that I end up doing all day long because I get a coffee and then I go for like 5 hours in a long surgery, and then, you know, sometimes I just don't get a chance to eat, so I feel like I am doing intermittent fasting, which is trendy right now.
Right. So look, I mean, intermittent fasting just means, you know, basically going a certain amount of hours without food. It's defined, you know, some people stop eating at 8, you know, they start at 10. So the more you're limiting the hours of your intake, it's likely that you're going to limit your total caloric intake. And that's pretty much why people lose weight. But if you understand metabolism, your metabolism is a furnace. And think about what happens when a furnace starts to cool off because it hasn't been heated up in a while, right? So what happens when you add more coal in? It revs back up. You don't want to fast. It is not, other than the fact that you're taking hours or you're not eating, that's why you're saving calories. You want to keep your metabolism working throughout the day. And that's why you should be eating breakfast at, like, let's say 7 or 8 o'clock, lunch at 12 or 1 o'clock, a snack at around 4 or 5 o'clock, and then dinner. So I actually am very anti-intermittent fasting because I think it slows down people's metabolism. I think once again, it feels punitive, you know, where you're not allowed to eat during certain hours. I don't want to impose that on anyone. If you're invited to someone's house for dinner and the hostess is running an hour too late, you're not going to eat dinner now. It's just not a logical approach. It's just healthy eating habits should be sustainable and they should not compromise your quality of life. So I think anything that's sort of imposed on us in a way that's overly restrictive, it's not going to produce long-term results. And I don't know anyone that wants to lose weight temporarily and wants to get healthy temporarily. We all want those things to be permanent. I want to lose weight and keep it off. I want to get healthy and live a long life. So the fact that we rely on diet methodologies that are not sustainable, it's just illogical because we're doing something temporarily with the hopes that the byproducts will be permanent, and it never will be. Permanent lifestyle habits will lead to permanent changes and therefore permanent results. And F-Factor delivers that because F-Factor is sustainable. It's the most liberating approach because you're dining out, drinking alcohol, eating high fiber carbs, and you're not a slave to the gym. And, you know, as I said, most women lose 10 pounds in the first month without hunger, and you're receiving all these health benefits.
Yeah. So for those of my listeners who haven't heard or tried the F-Factor or the concepts of it, where can they find you on Instagram and your website and everything?
Yeah, so the website is ffactor.com, and on the website you can get the F-Factor diet book and the journal. You can download the app for free. We have links on the website for that, and the F-Factor products. We have the F-Factor bars and the F-Factor protein powders, and there's no other protein powder on the market like this powder. It's the highest fiber protein powder. You can make smoothies. I made ice cream this weekend, cookies, biscotti. There'll be ingredients in your kitchen. So all that's on the website. And then we have two Instagram accounts. There's my personal one, which is Tanya Zuckerbrot. And then we have an F Factor Instagram account too. So you can follow us for recipes and for success stories and the latest research and tips.
Inspiration. I always try to put some pictures in there. When everybody's eating bagels at the office, I take Gigi crackers and I do a little post for you. So I hope you're going to come out with Gigi crackers of your own one of these days.
One day.
One of these days.
Yeah, one day.
What are your favorite beauty tips as far as, like, I'm into faces and beauty, and preserving women's beauty is so important, and men as well. Any tips for that aspect of life?
Well, I mean, a few. I mean, and certainly this is your area of expertise, but I definitely am someone that has tried to invest in my own proper skincare. One of the most important things is, at least for the appearance of plump skin, is to, you know, be properly hydrated. So I recommend to all my clients to drink at least 3 liters of water a day, especially when you eat a high fiber diet, because it will not only allow the fiber to swell and allow for easy evacuation and allow the fiber to work its magic, but by staying properly hydrated, it plumps out fine lines and wrinkles and gives, you know, a skin a better quality. So that's super important. And simply, you know, eating fruits and vegetables, which contain a lot of antioxidants that fight free radical damage. So F Factor is naturally high in fruits and vegetables. I am the official dietitian to the Miss Universe organization, and every year I work with the title holders, Miss Teen, Miss USA, Miss Universe. And often people say, you know, well, they don't need you, they're so thin. I'm like, no, but nutrition is not just about the scale. It's integrative medicine. We are taking care of these women from the inside out, you know, and beauty is a byproduct of a healthy diet. When people don't eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables and aren't properly hydrated, they often have dry, sallow skin, you know, premature, you know, brown spots and wrinkles. So we know that diet is so important to beauty. Same with, you know, we know that there's certain nutrients like biotin that are important for, you know, for nails and hair. So you aren't just what you eat, but you also look how you eat, you know? So I definitely recognize how important it is to eat whole foods for beauty.
Well, if I could give all of my listeners out there a visual, Tanya is beautiful. She's
Thank
fabulous.
You.
Fresh, glowing skin and really pretty. And I know that all of you ladies out there listening will benefit. She's very right in saying that you have to eat healthy. You can't just expect to throw things on your face or do injections and have beauty that's sustainable. You have to have nutrition from within and beauty from within. So, well, I thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. That's really a wealth of information. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that a few times and digest
that. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
And you're beautiful too. I'm sure your listeners already know that, but I have to throw the compliment back.
Thanks.
And I really love speaking, as I said, to people within the medical community, because I think it's so important that with our platforms that we are using them to educate and inspire others. We both work in very crowded spaces, and it's sometimes people with the biggest platforms and the loudest voices who are the least qualified to be doing the talking. So, you know, I firmly believe that when you educate people, you empower them to make decisions on their own, and that's really when the buy-in happens. So I thank you for allowing me to share what I do with your audience, and when I start my podcast in the fall, I can't wait to have you on. So then my followers can benefit from your expertise.
I would love it. And if you're ever out in LA, you better come say hi.
I will, for sure.
All right. Well, all of you ladies out there, have a beautiful day. I want each of you to eat 40 grams of fiber a day with 3 liters of water. And be sure you start every meal with something fresh and vegetable-like. That's like a great tip. Eat a salad before the main course.
Always.
Always. And don't forget to tune in next week to Beauty Bites and take a look at Tanya's amazing book, The F Factor Diet, and I know you're going to love it. And it's really been transformative for me. I just feel like it's liberating because
you
really don't have to feel like you're dieting at all.
So happy for you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. And you've been listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And don't forget to download on the iTunes store. Please rate us. And you can find me on Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K. And our website is www.beautybydrkay.com.
Thank you.
I love you guys. Stay beautiful.